would like to dedicate my remarks on brotherhood to the memory of Rabbi Mendel Darin, who passed away at a very young age and served as a shliach, an emissary for Chabad, and one who truly valued the sanctity of each and every Jew and each and every human being. How many people here have experienced in their lives some sort of fallout with a sibling, with a member of our family, somebody we don't talk to? Perhaps it's within our synagogue. Somebody who has aggravated us and we just don't talk to them anymore. The concept, particularly of sibling rivalry and tension within families, is not a new one, but harkens back all the way to the very beginning of time, and in fact is the prime focus of much of the first book of the Torah, the book of Bereshit, of Genesis. We read about the story of Cain and Abel, Cain and Hevel, who murders his brother. There is tension that exists between Yitzchak and Ishmael, as well as Yaakov and Esav, and Joseph and his brothers. And only at the very end of the book of Genesis is there a reunion that takes place between Joseph and his brothers. As Yaakov is on his deathbed, he prays and hopes for the unity and solidarity of the Jewish people. We often forget in our own lives that we are one mishpacha, we are one family. Why do these fractures happen? What can we do to try to avoid them? This question hit home for me a number of months ago when I was at an unveiling for a number of sisters' father. And I discovered after the unveiling that some of the sisters don't speak to each other anymore. They all stood there together out of respect for the father, but they don't talk anymore. I tried to start a dialogue with one of the sisters, but it was deeply painful. And I could sense for the sisters also. The children who had 4, 5, 6, and as young adults had the greatest affection for each other, now can no longer get along. There's one particular story in the Torah that I think offers us some insight into the struggle that sometimes siblings face, but also potentially some direction for unification. And that is the story of Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov had left his brother Esav over 20 years ago after Esav threatened to kill him. When Yaakov took the Bechorah, the firstborn right, which Esav had sold him early in his life. And the Torah portion of Vayishlach speaks about this reunion. The question I want to address by looking at the verses is, do they make up? Do they let bygones be bygones and come together? Or do they still hold that grudge? If you look at the text itself, we see it as slightly ambiguous. Yaakov is meeting Esav, and the Torah tells us that he lifts up his eyes and he sees there are 400 men that are coming with Esav. And the commentators actually take two different approaches. Some say these men were there to attack and to kill Yaakov. And others that Esav came with so many men as a sign of honor for Yaakov. And then if we look at the verse itself, the Torah is very dramatic about Yaakov and Esav's reunion. The Torah speaks at the very beginning of the chapter, in chapter 33, that Yaakov lifts up his eyes, and Esav, and the Torah tells us in chapter 33, verse 4, Vayaretz Esav likrato, that Esav ran to greet Yaakov, v'yechapkehu, he embraced him, v'yipol al tzavarav, he cried or fell on his neck, v'yishakehu, and Esav kissed Yaakov, v'yivku, and they cried. At first blush, it seems that there's a lot of goodwill between Esav and Yaakov. But if you look at the text itself, you'll see the word Vayishakehu has some dots that appear on top of it, which is found in every parchment and every text from the moment that God gave the Torah to Moshe at Sinai. And these dots, our commentators tell us, are to tell us that there was something unique about this kiss. There are three different opinions. At one extreme, one of the rabbis says, Vayishakehu is really Vayinashchehu. That Esav tried to bite Yaakov, still harboring his anger and his hate. The next opinion is that he kissed him, but he kissed him without a full affection, because he still harbored those feelings of anger. And finally, Vayeshakehu could mean literally he kissed him despite the anger, b'chol levavo, with all of his emotion. And Chazal struggle, I think, precisely to speak to the fact that reunions are not difficult. It's hard to let go. But I'd like to focus on what I think are two strategies to help each and every one of us in those times when we experience, and we know people who may experience, these fallouts in their family. One is that when Esav speaks to Yaakov, he tells him, let us walk together and let us go kinegdecha. Kineged means opposite you. The first place in the Torah where we speak about kineged is the relationship between a husband and a wife. Does kineged imply aligned, or does it apply opposed? I think what it's telling us here is that people have the ability to get along even when they don't agree with each other. A husband and a wife have to accept each individual for who they are, their background, where they come from, and respect that each individual has a different opinion, but that doesn't mean we still can't love each other, we still can't get along. And oftentimes it's the illusion that everyone needs to agree on everything that creates the most conflict. One of the strategies to maintaining relationships and families with people of different backgrounds who may take different paths is to recognize that it needs to be kinegdecha. I respect you for who you are and for what you bring. And even though it may be different than what I practice or what I do, I still have to find a way to recognize that you're part of family, you're part of mishpacha. But there's a second strategy as well. Yaakov had every reason to be afraid of Esav, and yet it tells us that when he met Esav, Vatigashna, he came close to Esav, Ad Achiv, to his brother. And that's to take risks for peace. Many times I've seen when I've talked to brothers and sisters who are in conflict, I don't talk to them anymore, and he has to make the first move. She has to call me. The Torah says, no. You come close. You take the risk. And oftentimes we might find that if we just pick up that phone and reach out, as it says in Rashi, Nitgalgulu Rachamav, Esav's mercy welled up within him, and he embraced Yaakov. Do Yaakov and Esav ultimately come together? It is unclear. The only next time, based upon the Midrashim, that we're aware that Yaakov and Esav speak to each other is at the funeral of their father Yitzchak. And we know all too well that sometimes siblings only reunite after a tragedy in the family, or after they're forced to come together because of an ancestor. Not all relationships can be mended, unfortunately. But the story of Yaakov and Esav, I believe, should give us pause to think about in our own families, in our own community, that we are ki'ish echad b'lev echad, with one people as one heart. Rabbi Mendel was known for emulating the message of Chabad when it comes to Jewish outreach. It's not called kiruv, bringing me, you closer to me, but it's hafratzas mayanot, which is taking the wellsprings of Torah and bringing them to people where they are. Not necessarily to bring people to the mountain, but to bring the mountain to the people. Kinegdecha and vayikshu, to come close. Hopefully these parshiyot, and particularly the tension of Yaakov and Esav, will give each and every one of us a little more pause, to offer a little more love, to accept people within our family, kenegdecha, and to work just a little bit harder, vayikshu ad achiv, to come a little bit closer to our brothers and our sisters in our own family and in the Jewish people. And in this merit, may the neshama, the soul of Rabbi Mendel Darin, who lived this in his own life, be a source not only of nechama, of comfort to his family, but an inspiration for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people.